This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Michael Frazier, Executive Director of Viva Farms, a nonprofit farm business training organization located in Washington State's Skagit Valley. Michael Frazier is here to tell us about the work of Viva Farms to launch a new generation of farmers. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Diane.
Why was Viva Farms started? What is your history?
We were founded in 2009, and it really grew out of a need for beginning farmers to access land. And the group of people got together in Skagit County and Whatcom County and, you know, identified land as one of the primary issues, and that's where Viva Farms started. So we leased about 33 acres from the Port of Skagit and invited beginning farmers to come and farm with us.
What is the current status of farmland in the Skagit Valley?
It's definitely threatened. And, you know, since 1940, we've lost about 40% of the farmland in Skagit County. So it's gone from about 150,000 acres of farmland to today at about 93,000 acres of farmland. So it continues to decline with, you know, the pressures of growth.
Would you elaborate on the goals of Viva Farms?
Well, we are growing community, farmers, and food. And so, you know, we lower the barriers for beginning farmers to start their businesses by allowing them to access what we call the essentials, which are training. And we have three components of our training program. There's an accredited training program through Skagit Valley College, through the Sustainable Agriculture Education Program. And graduates of that program can join our incubator, which is a full business incubator where they can continue to get technical assistance on a daily basis to run their farm businesses. And we do regional trainings as well. So we do about 10 regional workshops a year where farmers from around the region come to our site and learn at our land base. And for those folks that choose to incubate with us, the services we provide are the land, of course, so we can lease land from a quarter acre to up to 5 acres. We have the infrastructure, so we have, you know, greenhouses, wash pack stations, high tunnels, walk-in refrigeration. We have the farm equipment, so we have the tractors and the implements folks would need. We have an irrigation system that is set up. We also have markets, so we have a direct-to-consumer market, which is a CSA program, and also a wholesale market that delivers from Whatcom County down into Seattle as well. And we have a capital program, so people can access capital to either start their businesses or scale their businesses when they need to.
What is the background of the farmers you help train? Who is Viva Farms meant for?
It's meant for everybody that wants to start a farm. If they're beginning, something unique about what we do is we do it bilingually. So we not only will serve English speakers, we'll speak Spanish speakers at the farm and offer all our services, both in English and Spanish. And it's for beginning folks, so folks that have been farming for under 10 years. And most of the folks that begin with us either have a farm worker background, so they've been in the fields working either in Skagit County or elsewhere and have learned quite a bit about production and might not necessarily know everything they need to know about actual business, running a business. And then we have other folks that are college graduates that either went through a sustainable agriculture program or another degree program and decided that they wanted to try their hand at farming.
What do your farmers look like in terms of gender and age?
The average age of the participants that have gone through the program since the beginning is around 40 years old, which is way below the local average and also the national average of the age of farmers, because the average age of farmers is about 58. So we're at 40. And as far as gender, again, we're really slanted towards women comparatively to the rest of the United States. So about 40% of our participants have been women, where nationally farm ownership is less than 1% women owned.
And how about ethnic background?
Yeah, we have a wide range, and about 44% of our participants since the beginning have been from a Latino background. There's been some, you know, Korean, some Iraqi, and also folks, you know, the large majority from, you know, the United States of America.
What makes beginning farmers come to Viva?
The essentials, a passion for wanting to grow food and feed people, and then a knowledge of the resources we provide to help them be successful doing that.
What are the main challenges for beginning farmers?
Oh my goodness. There are so many challenges for beginning farmers. The knowledge of how to do it, you know, is one huge hurdle. Access to land. I could basically kind of recite our essentials again. Training, land, infrastructure, equipment, capital, and markets. Those are the biggest obstacles for people to actually be successful in farming, because you first have to learn how to farm, and then once you actually can grow quality product, you have to find a place to sell it, figure out how to deliver it, and, you know, make sure that the finances of the business are such that you can continue doing it year over year. And unlike a lot of businesses in farming, you know, there's windows of opportunity, and the mistakes you learn along the way, you only really have one time a year to get it right. So in the, you know, the average life of a farmer, best case scenario, they have maybe 30 chances to get it right. Because if you do it wrong in 2017, you don't have an opportunity to try it a different way until 2018 and so on.
What is required to be accepted as a farmer at Viva?
Well, a background in farming, so quite a bit of experience in farming, or going through like the sustainable education program that I've talked about, the Practicum program that we have currently, and then a business plan that we review and make sure that it looks solid enough to actually begin.
And what financial resources do your trainees need to provide themselves?
There are fees for being an incubator, so they'll have to have money to actually lease the land, and then the equipment that we have, we rent by the hour, so they'll, you know, need finances to rent the equipment. Of course, they'll have to have money to buy their seeds and fertilizers and cover crops. But we reduce those startup costs tremendously because of those shared resources. So for an example, we lease an acre of land for $400, which is a really low number comparatively to other access to land and equipment. For example, you know, you can rent a tractor for $30 an hour instead of having to spend $20,000 on a tractor to start your business. So for someone that wants to get started, a lot of folks will start at a quarter acre and then scale up from there. So quarter acre is about $100. And then, you know, again, the cost of seeds and whatever equipment cost you'd need to actually get those products in the ground and then back out of the ground and to market. So pretty low comparatively to somebody that wanted to do it on their own.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Michael Frazier, Executive Director of Viva Farms, a nonprofit farm business training organization whose mission is to launch a new generation of farmers. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM, by the mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. What types of crops are grown by the beginning farmers you support?
A number of crops. Last year, we probably had about 40 different crops growing at Viva Farms, and there are some specific crops that folks grow. And for the farm workers that are starting their own businesses, a lot of them have experience growing berries. So we have, you know, quite a few acres in either strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries. But we have, you know, from kale, collards, onions, garlic. I mean, you know, the list is pretty long.
What sustainable farming practices do you teach?
Everything we do, you know, we frame in that sustainability lens. So, you know, we are certified organic, so all of our farm businesses that are incubating with us have to actually adhere to organic practices and sustainable practices. So things like drip irrigation, cover cropping, the way that we actually till the land, the different fertilizers and other pesticides that we might use to control those things, all of those things are framed in the lens of sustainability so that at the end of the season, the soil is as healthy or more healthy than when we started at the beginning, so that we're building soil health year over year versus moving in a direction where at some point it might not sustain growing food that nourishes us.
What are some stories of beginning farmers who have benefited from Viva Farms?
Sure, there have been quite a few. I would say Nalita, Pure Nalita Farms, is one. She was one of our very first incubators, and she has grown her, and I can't talk a lot of specifics, but from starting at a quarter acre, you know, now farming over 5 acres with sales to match that growth, she's been able to access our capital programs to buy a tractor of her own. So she has her own tractor at this point. She has many of her own implements that goes onto that tractor. And she actually just last year, she purchased a piece of property to open her own farm stand. And she has probably the most diversity in her crop selection as any farmer at Viva. And just with her own production, she could stock her farm stand pretty well.
Are there additional examples?
Sure. Another one, Mauricio Soto, is another great example. And I think this will be his third or fourth year with us. And he's now farming at about 4 acres, and he farms raspberries, strawberries, and then some other smaller crops. And he scaled his business such that he's just recently quit his full-time job and is farming full-time and has the production and the sales to support his family doing that. His daughter actually goes to University of Washington, which is a great success as well.
To what extent do your farmers have other jobs in addition to farming?
About 53% of our farmers intend to have farming be their primary source of income. And most of the farmers, when they start, have secondary income, which is not unlike nationally farmers. Most farm businesses across the United States have a secondary income. One of the spouses works to supplement the income of the farm. And I don't know, like currently, but most of our farmers are still working either a part-time job or a full-time job as they scale their businesses forward. Nalita doesn't. The Nalita I just mentioned, Nalita Pure Nalita Farms, does not. And Mauricio Soto also, farming is his primary occupation at this point.
So looking overall, how much produce is grown through Viva Farm programs?
Well, this year, we don't do it really by weight, but just to give you an idea, the produce that was sold through our sales channels reached $150,000 this year. And then farmers, of course, sell direct as well. And I don't have those numbers right now. So about $150,000 worth of produce was sold through our channel. So that's quite a bit of produce.
Who are the main customers for the produce?
Oh, we have a lot of customers. Most of them are businesses. So places like Agua Verde here in Seattle, Molly Moon's Ice Cream, Central Co-op, you know, the list is pretty long. And again, we wholesale up into Whatcom County and then down into Seattle as well.
Would you say more about the financial challenges for beginning farmers?
Sure. To start, you know, land is pretty expensive in the Skagit County. This is going to sound pretty inexpensive for folks living down here in Seattle, but the average cost of an acre of farmland is around $11,000. So that would be just like the minimum to even think about getting started, although it's not just land that you need. If you have land, you need irrigation. And to get irrigation, you need water rights, which is a challenge in Skagit County. But even to drill a well, you know, that's a $12,000 purchase. If you don't already have a tractor and you need to buy a tractor, that's another $10,000 or $15,000 plus the implements. And then if you need to actually build a wash pack station so that you can wash that produce, there's another investment. And then, you know, again, how do you get your product to market and where is the market? If it's a farm stand in Skagit County or a farmer's market in Skagit County, maybe that's not too exceptionally expensive, except for that you'll be there all day selling your produce. But if you have to commute it down into Seattle or even up into Whatcom County, you know, that's an additional cost for that transportation distribution. So it pretty quickly gets really expensive to start that farm business.
What programs are in place to help beginning farmers finance what they need?
There are different programs. The USDA, the WSDA have certain programs. At Viva Farms, we have a capital programs. Basically, it's a revolving loan fund where we keep some collateral in the bank, and then our incubators can borrow against that money. And as they pay it back, we can reloan it to other farmers. And while that program is, you know, the scale is relatively small, it's been really, really effective over the course of our time. And like I said, Nalita has bought tractors. People have bought different wash pack equipment, like root washers. We've had people buy egg washers, other things. So our even take out capital to scale, to either buy plants for the beginning of the year. One example I would say is, you know, we had a farmer last year that took out a $12,000 loan to purchase strawberry plants and actually was able to pay back that entire loan in the course of the season and have a net profit as well year one. So, you know, again, while it's small, that revolving loan fund that we have actually is pretty effective for the farmers at Viva.
What happens after the farm incubator work is completed? What do the beginning farmers do from there?
When they launch? Yeah, so we've had, you know, multiple farmers actually launch offsite. So, you know, they've found a piece of property, they've established enough market, they have enough equipment, tractors, implements, and of course they have enough knowledge to be effective at farming. And so we've launched several farm businesses that continue to farm. In fact, since the beginning of Viva in 2009, 77% of the participants that have gone through the program continue to farm today. So it's just a matter of continuing and continuing to scale and grow their businesses outside of Viva Farms.
Would you say more about what you know about your long-term impact?
Sure. Well, we've helped 28 farm businesses, you know, that have incubated with us since the beginning of time. And we have trained over 650 farmers that have either, you know, been through the incubator program, have been through our practicum program through the college, or have actually been to our regional trainings, workshops. And again, 77% of the folks that have been through the program continue to farm, and 90% of the folks that are farming currently plan on continuing. And 53% of those farmers from the beginning, 2009, either are or are planning to have farming be their primary source of income. You know, other impacts, again, it gets back to the sustainability piece. We've done surveys, and I'm not going to get the percentages off the top of my head, but they're really high. Farmers are continuing to use those sustainable practices, whether it's using kind of water-wise irrigation, the organic fertilizers, pesticides, cover cropping. You know, the way that they're managing the farms is something that is taking care of the environment while at the same time feeding people. And I think it's 76%, I'd have to check that number, but 76% of the farmers that have been through the program actually not only sell produce, but they actually will take their seconds or produce that they weren't able to sell to local food banks and actually support folks that are in need with the production that they have. So quite a few impacts, and there's lots of income for the folks that are farming. And part of that's because we're doing it organically, so they can demand a higher price for their products.
So the people that don't continue farming after they leave Viva Farms, what do they do? What is their story?
Yeah, of course, there are many. Some people give it a try and decide farming isn't for them, which we actually consider that a success because they haven't gone, you know, deeply into debt in figuring out that they're not a great farmer. And what people choose to do other than farming, well, you know, again, it's pretty varied. We have a guy that gone through the program that actually got a job as a farm manager for another farm. So he's still farming, not his own farm, but he's farming an organic farm in Skagit Valley as a farm manager. We have a young lady that decided not to farm, but actually got a position as a farmer's market manager. And then, you know, people decide to get out of it entirely and do something completely different, which again is a success if they're not completely in debt after the process. And, you know, they've given it a go and realized that farming's hard work.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Michael Frazier, Executive Director of Viva Farms, a nonprofit farm business training organization whose mission is to launch a new generation of farmers. To what extent do you have to turn away people who would like to join Viva Farms?
It hasn't been a problem really until 2016, and I'm thinking qualified people. You know, there are folks that would want to come to Viva and farm that aren't necessarily qualified, so we'll point them in the right direction. And if they're passionate enough, they'll follow through and then they'll come on. Where in 2016, it's kind of a good problem, still a problem. We had to turn some farmers away because we had leased all of the land that we had available for the first time in our history. And even though we launched a farmer over the off season, so we launched a farmer that was farming 5 acres, so we freed up 5 acres for 2017, which is great. But the current incubators desire to expand, and then two participants that went through our program, our practicum program last year, wanting to launch their businesses in 2017 at Viva Farms, were again completely full. So we don't have enough land right now for the demand. And so we are actually looking to purchase a 45-acre farm currently that the goal is to close on February 28th, actually, which is about a half mile from our current location. So we'll have an additional 45 acres to help people scale and so that people can move off our Viva One model and move to this new model at a higher land base. So like I mentioned earlier, when folks start at the current site, they can start at about a quarter acre, depending on their skill level, up to, you know, 2 acres as a starting point, and only get to 5 acres just because that's all the land that we have available. So 5 acres is the current cap. With this new 45-acre farm, if we're able to purchase it, we can launch folks that are ready to take on more than 5 acres onto this new site, free up the land at the current site so that we can bring more incubators on. And also, you know, kind of related, a new development, we have just brought on the Sage Collaborative and the Sage Student Farm, which is in Sammamish Valley, in as a project of Viva Farm. So we're the fiscal sponsor. And the student farm in Sammamish Valley, we've been working with them for several years. And they take students from Seattle Central Community College and Edmonds Community College, where most of our participants come from Skagit Valley College. And this SAGE program, they are opening an incubator this year. So we just signed 5 leases for the incubator farm in Sammamish Valley. But now it's full. Year one, that farm is full. So more land is in our future for sure.
What other organizations do you partner with?
There's a huge list of partners, and some of the most important ones are, you know, one of our founding partners, WSU, Washington State University, the Extension in Skagit County, also the Research Center in Skagit County, and the Small Farms Team, which is a statewide component of WSU. Also, the Sustainable Agriculture Education Program and the Collaborative, that's a collaboration between the 3 community colleges, Edmonds Community College, Seattle Central Community College, and Skagit Valley College, and the Student Farm, and new this year, 2017, incubator in the Sammamish Valley, and also Cloud Mountain Farm Center in Whatcom County, Sustainable Connections in Whatcom County, and one of the new exciting partners that we have is PCC Farmland Trust, whose mission is to protect and preserve farmland, which is a natural partner for us. We train the farmers, and then they have a place to launch onto organic farmland and grow their businesses while continuing to protect and preserve that farmland.
To what extent are there incubator farms like Viva elsewhere in the United States?
Yeah, it's still cutting edge. And a lot of people, you know, probably hearing about this today, it's the first time they've ever heard about a farm business incubator. There are others across the country, and some of them do things bilingually like we do. You know, as an example, Alba, which is an incubator down in Salinas County, California, was kind of the model we looked at when we founded Viva Farms. But there are others around and more coming up, like the Cloud Mountain Farm Center, which I mentioned up in Whatcom County, one of our partners. They've had an intern program for several years. And 2 years ago, they started an incubator of their own on 10 acres. So they've launched a new incubator. But it's still, again, cutting edge.
What are your plans for the future? What are your long-term goals?
We want to do better at what we're doing currently. So we continue to improve our training program as kind of the foundation of what we do. And we'll continue to improve our infrastructure and equipment access. And then again, the land piece. So we want to do a better job at training farmers to get to a scale of economic viability so that they can support their family with their family farm. And so I think, again, it's just improving and continuing to improve the resources that we provide so that those beginning farmers can be successful.
Where does your funding come from?
It comes from a lot of different places. It has historically leaned heavily on federal grants, and we also have private donations from foundations and individual donors as well, although that's a real opportunity for us. We've not done a great job with private donors historically. And of course, we have revenue. So even as a nonprofit, we can have sales revenue. And so our sales revenue has increased throughout the years, and we see that as an opportunity. The organic market continues to grow double digits every year. And in the last couple of years, the limiting factor to our sales has really been our production. So as we, our incubator farmers, are able to produce more food, we'll have more sales revenue. And Viva Farms gets a percentage of that sales revenue as the distributor for our farms. Yeah, so government grants, private foundations, private individual donors, and then sales revenue.
So what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, farming's important. Taking care of the land that nourishes us is important. And having not only a diversity of crops, but a diversity of farmers on different scales and from different backgrounds strengthens the community. And, you know, if enough people choose their dollars to purchase organic local food, we can kind of turn around that loss of farmland and the loss of farmers, which is a tremendous challenge. You know, we're like, again, I said in the beginning, you know, Skagit County specifically, we've lost 40% of farmland in the last 50 years. If we were to lose another 40% of that, there wouldn't be enough to actually sustain agriculture in Skagit County anymore. So training farmers and training farmers to take care of the land that nourishes us all is something that we can do well. And for the folks that aren't, you know, specifically engaged in training those folks, by choosing to purchase organic food, they'll be part of that solution as well. And it's not just a one-year proposition. A lot of the farmers that have been farming in Skagit County for 120 plus years, they started on 2 or 3 acres of land, but are now farming 500, 600, 1,000 acres of land. And that can be true for today's beginning farmers as well. The folks that are at Viva Farms and starting 1 acre, 2 acre, 3 acre scaling, what that looks like in 2 or 3, 4 generations, they might be the next 500 acre farm in Skagit County. So we can solve this, we can fix the problem, and we can take care of our planet and ourselves in a really intentional way by supporting local farmers.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Michael.
Thank you, Diane.
You are just listening to Michael Frazier, Executive Director of Viva Farms. For more information, check on the web at vivafarms.org. Again, that's vivafarms.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Power at 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on kexp.org.